I was wondering, did Jesus at least say hello to them before he called them? You know, the other calling story is the one that's more famous, where he calls them away from the fishing boats and the nets to fish for people. And I found myself wondering, did he just say it and they went with him to wander the countryside? Or did he at least say, you know, hi or good morning or introduce himself? In this reading, it's a slightly different calling story. But again, I was wondering, did he at least say hi? And it's a question I'm bringing to the text because of something I heard on The Current on CBC this week. I heard it and I went looking for it. It was a little piece on whether people are comfortable talking to strangers. And apparently it's very hard. And it's not that we assume people are bad or that they're unkind. And it's not that we are otherwise not socially skilled or emotionally intelligent. Apparently, it's a fear of rejection that keeps people from talking to strangers. So there was a study that was done in London, England, on the transit by an organization called Neighborly Lab. And they put up stickers on the Hammersmith bus. And the sticker says, "Who can say hello first?" Now, the study showed that before they put up the stickers, 1 in 5 people would say hello to the driver. And after the stickers went up, 30% of people said hello to the driver. Now, I mean, that math, you kind of have to do it. So it's gone up from 20% to 30%. Even though 3/4 of the people didn't even see the sticker, which would suggest people saw other people saying hi and they started doing it. The study also said that it seemed that it put people in a really good mood. So I heard this and I went looking for this article because of what I heard, and I had difficulty finding it because there are so many pieces on the internet about talking to strangers. There's some in England and the United States and Australia, and they all have a common theme, which is that happiness arises from talking to strangers, and that the chief obstacle is fear of rejection, and that's what keeps people from doing it. So the piece on The Current pointed out that rejection actually happens way less often than you might expect. And they quote a representative of a Toronto organization called Jen Well. And this person says that COVID has been a great impact for us because it took away many of those social, casual opportunities where you could casually say hi to someone. And the person representing Jen Well says that this lack of social collisions, because that's what they're called, social collisions, has had a negative impact on all of us because we're out of practice, and that this has affected our moods and our happiness. So coming back to Jesus calling the disciples, well, that's what I'm bringing to it. Did he say hi? What did he do? And how could they decide to follow him? Was he a stranger out of the blue? Or did they already know him? Were they, you know, was it a small enough town that they already knew him? Or maybe they'd at least heard of him? Maybe they were primed and ready to go, you know, like university students who want to go to Europe using their student loan money. I know I did this. Or maybe the family bishop business of fishing was boring, and imagine the parents' thoughts about that, you know, their young men going off. So I was looking at all of the calling stories, the calling of the disciples, four gospels, each with a calling story. Scholars would tell us that Mark's gospel is the oldest, and it does it like this. Jesus is baptized, then he is tempted in the desert, and then he returns and immediately launches into repent and believe the good news. And the very next thing is he calls them away from their boats. Now, Matthew and Luke are seen to follow the plot line of Mark. Matthew does the very same thing. Goes right from the desert to preaching the good news to calling the disciples. It looks like Luke kind of figured out that that doesn't quite make sense, because he's added some things. There's the baptism and then the temptation, and then he preaches in the synagogue in Nazareth. That's where the local townspeople try to push him off the cliff. And then he heals Simon's mother-in-law, so maybe he knew them already. And then he preaches in other synagogues, and then he calls the disciples, which would suggest, you know, it was a combination of he knew them already and a bit of fame. And that brings us to the call story in John's gospel. And I've been reading a study of John's gospel, which proposes that the history of how we understand that book should be reappraised. It was thought through much of history that John was the last one written, and that therefore it might be historically less accurate. And so the reappraisal is that, in fact, John's gospel came out in a first edition and a second edition. And the second edition is why there are two endings. If you read chapters 20 and 21, you'll see there are actually two endings. And there are all these extended passages where Jesus is talking nonstop. You almost have to imagine someone there taking shorthand. And that this was the later edition, adding things, but that there was a first edition about the same time as Mark's gospel, so almost the oldest, but aware of Mark and deliberately trying to complement the stories Mark had by choosing other ones that were also memories. And this call of the disciples in John is quite different. We see John the Baptist's incredible endorsement of who this is. And then John's own disciples are the ones who go and follow, literally follow, walking, following Jesus. And they have this dialogue. And he starts with, what are you looking for? He doesn't start with high. I was looking for high. He starts with, what are you looking for? And they ask, where are you staying? And he says, come and see, and that just gets it started. And then there's another call story right after this one where Jesus encounters Nathanael and calls him, and he says, I see you're an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael says, well, how do you know that about me? And Jesus says, well, I was watching you while you were under the fig tree. So he's been studying these folks before he is approaching them. So a different version of, you know, doing some social analysis, sitting on the street, figuring out who's there, and then talking to people, almost a bit premeditated. I want to come back to that first hello. Because there are other examples in all of the Gospels. Take, for example, the woman at the well. He asks her for a drink. Well, there's no hi, good morning. Maybe there was, but he asks her for a drink, and that leads to this profound conversation about living water. The studies about saying hello talk about random collisions. These are the conversations that we're now less practiced at because of COVID. And maybe they don't all result in profound conversations. I was thinking, you know, if every conversation I had with someone resulted in a profound conversation, I probably couldn't stand it, because you got to do all that processing time of all that stuff that you said randomly. As the London bus study said, though, it affects people's mood. People were happier. I want to imagine that a hello would make me happier. And even if nothing profound came out of it, that would have an impact on the next person I talk to, even though nothing came out of the first conversation that was tangible. I might bring something more to the scheduled conversation because it put me in such a good frame of mind, a kind of an unintentional paying it forward of, you know, good feeling. And maybe one of those would call me into something. The unintentional one or the intentional one that's now been set up with good feelings. Can you think of a person that you talked to randomly who is still in your life? I was thinking about weddings that I've done. You wouldn't believe the number of people who get married because they talked to somebody randomly. There are also the conversations that maybe you could have taken up but you didn't. I was thinking about a time that I was a student and I went to the employment office and there was a man from the airport. He gave me his card that I should get a job at the airport. And I never did call. And I thought afterwards, I wonder how my life would be different. I'd gotten that job at the airport. We don't know if Jesus and the disciples were random like that. You know, maybe the calling is already inside of us. The potential is already there for something more. And it's the random collision that wakes it up. In other words, it's not that the person called you into something. The calling was already there. It just took the right hello. The calling was like a God-shaped hole in your being. A kind of emptiness that can only be filled by where God is taking you, but it was the disruption of some real hello that helped you to notice it. Any disruption could bring it to your awareness. A random collision and a hello. So, the person sitting beside you even now might be the blessing you had not been expecting. The hello you do tomorrow might change you or that person. Maybe even just by putting you in a good mood for the other things you have to do. I was thinking I would make myself a button. Who can say hello first? Or maybe even a QR code. And then they got to look it up. And then the end result is, here I am, Lord. Amen.